The following presentation is brought to you by the Shining Wizards Network, home to a vast array of sports and entertainment podcasts, including Two and a Half Wrestlers, Neckbreaker, Turnbuckle Throwbacks, Inconclusive Breakdown, Midnight Jury, After Midnight, Apex Radio, and The Shining Wizards. Plus exclusive shows Thursday Night Destruction and Kevin Gill's King of Indies podcast. Available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Audio Boom, and at ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. There are many ways in which you can support the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. Perhaps the easiest way is to head on over to iTunes and Stitcher Radio and leave us a review. If you do any shopping at Amazon, go over to ShiningWizards.com and click the Amazon banner. It's not going to cost you anything extra, and a small percentage of your purchase will go to support the show. If you'd like to purchase one of our logo shirts, head on over to ShiningWizards.com/merch and pick one of our latest styles. Or head over to ProWrestlingTees.com/ShiningWizards for our Shining Wizards Network and tons of other designs. If you'd like to be our friend on Facebook, join us at Shining Wizards. If you'd like to follow us on Twitter, do so at Wizards Podcast. And if you'd like to send us any kind of email, you can do so at WizardsPodcast@gmail.com. The Shining Wizards Podcast is available on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, at GeekLifeRadio.com, and of course, at ShiningWizards.com. From all of us at the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, we thank you for your continued support. And now, enjoy.
This is Notorious 1-7, the Brooklyn Bruiser, repping the 718 Homicide, and you're listening to the Shining Wizard.
Hey, this is comedian Adam Lucidi. I once got a fist bump from Michael Keaton. And you are listening to The Shining Wizards with Kevin and Tony.
Awesome.
Yes.
We got our own Don Pardo in studio tonight.
Adam's a little more livelier than Don Pardo.
Well, you can't get much more dead than Don Pardo at this point.
That is true.
But that's dead what you were going shit for, and I just shit all over your joke.
It's okay. Don't worry about it.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, where it's wrestling talk.
And it's talk about wrestling.
Tony.
Kevin.
Adam.
Yes.
Studio A.
Yes. Apparently.
Adam Lucidi is back in the hizzo.
Studio A for Adam. We did that on purpose
because
you were coming in today.
We
already just handled this in Adam's intro.
Yeah. Adam did a great job. No need to do it again. What's going on, Adam?
Oh, nothing. I'm glad to be back. Thanks for having me back.
The Pittsburgh powerhouse.
Ever since I left the first time, I've been dreaming about this studio again, and the chairs.
Hopefully, Kevin had his clothes on in your dream.
Yeah.
And yes. As opposed to tonight, where he's letting the fun bag fly.
Mm-hmm.
That's not true at all.
Free balling.
Free.
That could be true.
Free balling.
I am free balling. We have no T-shirts for you this week, Adam. I'm sorry.
Unless you could fit in a size large Kick Cancer T-shirt.
I could.
It's a kid's size.
You could probably do that too.
Actually, that'd
be a funny bit. We should try that later.
What, put a kid sized T-shirt on Adam?
On Adam.
And have him model it?
Yes, tape it and put it on YouTube's. We haven't had content on our YouTube channel since Stevie Ray.
You know what we should do?
What's
I
that?
Know we're not booked for Legends yet, but we should still go to Legends and send Legends of the Ring. Send Adam around with a cut off Shining Wizards T-shirt with his belly exposed and just start talking to wrestlers like your Bruno from the Ali G show.
I was going to say, I don't have much of a belly.
And no, I didn't mean belly. I think abs. Like, whatever
you
got.
Yeah.
You could be our Ralphus.
For a second, I thought you were going to say I should go to this show as a Make-A-Wish kid. And I was going to be like, what?
Oh, my God. Shave your head.
At
That's
all.
Got potential.
It's terrible.
But it's got potential. Who's not going to want to talk to a cancer kid?
That's the.
But I'd be a cancer man.
You, can man, we call you.
Yeah.
Jesus.
The can man, Adam Lucidi.
Cance man.
I like how Kevin poo-poos the idea and then he runs with it, well, giving you nicknames.
Yeah. It's easy when stuff rhymes. I don't feel as guilty about it.
The can man can. Who can go to chemo?
Oh God! All right, that's enough of that. That's enough of that.
So AIDS is okay because it rhymes with blades.
Well, AIDS, yes.
And hand grenades.
AIDS hasn't really been relevant lately, so I could joke on.
So let's sweep AIDS under the rug.
I don't do topical humor, Adam. You know me.
Yeah, so. AIDS and Ebola kind of move along, but cancer's cool.
I know it's not.
What's big now? Measles. Or no, mumps?
Yeah, measles.
Is it, yeah, big.
Well, because of these jack-offs not wanting Disney. To fucking take care of their kids and give them vaccines and shit.
Like, so that's what I'll do. I'll do mumps all right, or measles.
You
could do,
well, we have to get like a red Sharpie and paint like dots on you.
What's the disease that Peter gave to Chris on Family Guy where he glued pepperoni to him?
I think he just gave him a third nipple, I think. I don't think he had a disease. I think he just gave him a third nipple. And it was pepperoni slice.
Yeah, but think about it. It was Ebola, or well, before that was like AIDS. Then like whatever. Then all of a sudden Ebola.
I like how you go from AIDS to whatever, what, Ebola.
Well, we can go further back. God, we can go polio if you want.
Oh my God! I have fucking AIDS. I'm gonna die.
All right, but think of the transition.
What wrestler was that?
That was Josh Daniels, who was on Law & Order SVU last week.
Starring, in air quotes. I'm doing air quotes. He was ESU agent number 3.
That's cool.
It was all right, but I couldn't tell. I had to go back to I had to wait till the credits till I saw him, which is fine. It's still huge. He's on Law & Order.
What was it, 2 years ago? He was like our first in-studio guest.
He's a West Orange guy, man.
And he's a TV star now.
That is true.
Like our buddy One Man Mike Dell.
That's right. Do you remember the segment a couple weeks back on Raw with Dean Ambrose talking to the shrink?
Yeah.
That was One Man Mike Dell.
He's a former.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's
a former training partner of yours truly.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
He's big down in the New Orleans area for Luke Hawks.
He not only was on the Broken Skull Challenge, he is in a Pepsi commercial, and he was on Raw for 3 hours.
Yeah.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah.
We have wide reach.
We have quite an arsenal.
We should have Josh back on and see if he saw Mariska Hargitay naked. That'd be cool.
That'd be cool as hell.
But
you know what wasn't cool?
AIDS.
Aside from AIDS.
Measles?
The biggest news topic that you dropped on me 20 minutes before you got here.
Oh, yeah. And this is big, despite how many people actually watch the product. It's a big name. Samoa Joe, no longer with Impact Wrestling, TNA. He is done. And this is like, isn't this like the fourth time he's left TNA?
Is it the fourth time?
I don't know. That was just an arbitrary number, but he's been back and forth with them, I feel. He's just let his contract expire before, and eventually they work something out because WWE doesn't have interest in him.
Isn't he like a current champion? Is he?
No. Well, I don't know how much they taped ahead of time. They taped like 6 weeks of pay-per-view over in England, so I don't know what they have in the can yet.
So he just leaves and comes back and leaves. It's like a bad breakup with a relationship.
Basically, like, the door is always open if you know, TNA wants a good pounding.
Yeah.
So.
What's with all the gay jokes?
It didn't have to be gay. You said girlfriend.
Listen, you were talking about freeballing. Then you want to put Adam in a cutoff
shirt. How is freeballing gay? How is anything you're saying homosexual?
Because if you take it in pieces, it's not. But you're talking about freeballing. Adam has dreams of coming back here. You want Adam in a cutoff shirt. Where else is. And you were talking about AIDS. I mean, we're.
This
you kind of put it all together.
Listen. Can't, like, animals get AIDS? Like, or
isn't that where AIDS came from?
Yeah. So, like, you're tying.
I'm not dreaming about animals in cutoff shirts running around interviewing wrestlers.
Listen, that's a gimmick. I want it to happen. Adams, you've already been fired as the can man. We're just going to have a honey badger run around and interview New Jack. And
I'm not going to be fired until one of you wishes me best of luck in my future endeavors.
Okay, faggot. What's next?
No, because I still think that idea is golden. I have Adam going around.
I agree. I think it's a great idea.
But we have to. It can't just be audio. We have to tape it.
Definitely. We'll tell him that he's working with Bill Apter.
Oh God, have you ever met Bill? Oh, you got. Do you know who Bill Apter is?
No idea.
He's one of the biggest wrestling historians.
Remember the Pro Wrestling Illustrated, the old wrestling mags?
Yeah.
They're called the Apter mags because Bill Apter was for a long time. Those were his. Were his babies.
You have the network. You may have seen his face pop up on a documentary or something like that. But
old Jewish guy with the comb over.
But yeah, you'll know who he is. But anyway, Samoa Joe gone from TNA, and this actually ties into a topic that me and Matt talked about. Any shot of him going to WWE? Do you think?
You know what? With Triple H in charge of NXT now, anything's possible. I would go for some Kevin Owens, Joe Samoan matches.
Joe Samoan, Kevin Owen.
Kevin Owen, Joe
Samoan.
See, I told
you. It all comes back to rhyming. It's a gimmick.
He's going
to
be like Coconut Chris or something like that.
Do you think he would? See, this is the debate that we have about those guys refusing to want to go to developmental.
Yeah, I don't know if he would, want to waste time in NXT. He might just see himself, you know, going right to the main roster. Right.
You know what, though? At this point in his career, I mean, he's done a ton of shit already. Maybe he's like, fuck it. Maybe I'll take some time and just go check it out.
I could see that. I could definitely see that. But, I mean, WWE has denied interest in him prior.
But you figure Sting, you know, jumped over. Bubba Ray, he jumped over. So I'm sure Samoa Joe, you know, would at least look up to them.
But Sting and Bubba Ray, and I get your point because they are TNA guys.
Yeah,
but Bubba Ray, whatever he did in TNA, he's a WWE guy, I think.
True.
And Sting is Sting. I feel like Samoa Joe is a kind of guy that's different from like the other guys on the TNA roster, where people already are familiar with him. So if he did come to WWE, I think he can make an initial splash on the main roster. Which is kind of contradicting the point that we made before, where do you think any TNA guy without a WWE history can be successful in WWE?
You know what, though? I mean, Samoa Joe carries a name with him, like a lot of the guys, like CM Punk carried a name with him, Bryan Danielson.
Which I agree with.
You know, Kevin Steen. And maybe, you know, you make a point, you can bring him in like a Sting, where he comes in, maybe he does one or two shots, and that's it, you know?
You have him come in and beat the crap out of Rikishi on the Hall of Fame weekend.
Fuck that. If they play their cards right and they could get him signed this week, why not have him beat the shit out of Daniel Bryan and cost him his WrestleMania shot and have Samoa Joe versus Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania?
Ooh, the Samoan lineage of Roman Reigns and Samoa.
Yes,
Joe.
He did it for The Rock.
He did it for Oos.
Oos. Oh! I kind of left you hanging on that one. I apologize.
No, it's all right. But, I mean, I honestly don't see it because I think Samoa Joe could make a ton of money going New Japan, going Indies.
We made a mistake.
What?
We've already done 12 minutes, and we haven't mentioned that beautiful Bobby Eaton's going to be on the show tonight.
Holy shit.
We do this all the time.
God damn it.
Well, you know, you get sidetracked with AIDS and mumps.
Well, of course. You know, things that Kevin really wants to talk about.
The fucking most convoluted spider web of tangled topics that you just made about gayness. But no, Bobby Eaton will be on the show. Yeah, Eaton? Freaking one of the greatest tag team wrestlers of all time.
I listened to Austin's interview with Shawn Michaels, and he mentioned Mr. Eaton throwing him fucking beers from ringside.
Well, they call that, I didn't realize it, you have the gorilla position. That's known as the Eaton position.
And they fired the guy that it's named after.
Yeah.
Gorilla Monsoon keeps a job until he dies, and they get rid of Eaton.
He's the timekeeper, right? He was.
They fired the timekeeper.
But Mark Yeaton.
Do you have any other news bites? I mean, I want to cover some stuff before we talk to Bobby. The only other thing I have here is just some news and notes on title changes. Apparently, AJ Styles won back the IWGP Championship in Japan from Hiroshi Tanahashi. Jesus, I'll get that right someday.
Tanahashi.
And I don't know if you want to talk about NXT, but Kevin Owens put the beats on Sami Zayn.
Jesus, won the NXT. Fuck, yeah.
What's the matter?
And this, did you see the picture of Vince McMahon on Muscle and Fitness?
Yeah.
It's a freaking, Adam, look at that.
Yeah, I saw that.
It's a freaking monster still. 68 years old, 69 years old.
Jesus 69 Christ. Years young.
God damn it, Vince.
He's a gorilla.
A lot of people had mixed emotions on the finish of that match about how Kevin Owens was just powerbombing the guy, Sami Zayn, until a ref stoppage for a title change. How do you...
You know what? Years
for the,
ago...
Not a title change, the main title change.
years ago in wrestling with the major championships like NWA, WWF, whenever they had a ref stoppage, the title never changed. They just determined somebody unfit to continue, and they wound up having a rematch.
Okay.
Just a bit of history for you. I don't know. I mean, you know what? If they're trying to get over Kevin Owens legit, I don't see it as a bad thing. And he's a badass, you know? I mean, we followed him for years. And, you know, aside from his pitiful promo skills, unless he's swearing like a sailor. You know,
I don't think he's that bad. I think he's...
He used to be pretty bad.
Oh, okay.
He relied on swearing a lot for no particular reason.
Did you have an issue with the way that... Because you watched NXT.
I watched
Takeover,
it, yeah. I mean, I don't know too much about Kevin Steen before.
Steen.
Or whatever. Yeah, I don't know too much about him before, but I think... I agree that, like, if they're going to try to make him a legit threat and, like, unstoppable... Because I keep reading that they're trying to, like, make him, like, the next Brock Lesnar. Like, okay. Unstoppable beast and, you know, all this shit.
Also could be tied back to Samoa Joe, because they kind of already have their Samoa Joe and Kevin Steen.
Steen.
Until they bring him up to the main roster and he becomes Danger Mouse or whatever they wanted to fucking make. What's
no,
his
that
name?
That was fucking... That's Pac. That's,
Adrian Neville?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they wanted to make him a Mighty Mouse.
I got tumors on my head.
I like Mighty Mouse, but not as a...
I like Mighty Mouse, too, but not as a wrestler.
What cartoon character would you ever get a tattoo of?
Would I get a tattoo of?
Yeah.
Squirtle Squad.
Was that a Pokemon?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Not just a regular Pokemon. It's badass Squirtle. Because there was an episode where there was a Squirtle running around with like a whole squad and they all wore sunglasses.
Squirtle was the only Pokemon other than the Pikachu that I know.
You know more.
I know Jigglypuff.
Say, you know Jigglypuff.
Only because I played fucking Smash Brothers Melee and, mm-hmm. and all that.
Ah, I thought that was just like a Kirby thing.
No, Jigglypuff is Pokemon.
Oh, okay. All right.
Kirby was awesome. I always loved being
Kirby's
Kirby.
Cheapsies.
He's not cheap, bro.
Yes, he is.
You don't
with
know
the
how
smash
to do the fucking...
Downs.
The, yes.
That's so cheapsies.
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 I'm the cheap. Same guy that used to use Melina in Mortal Kombat. Y'all know what I'm talking about.
I do.
Oh,
but anyway,
shit.
Yeah, I don't have an issue at all with the way Kevin Owens won the belt. I
Notice,
love it.
Kevin wanted to know what tattoo you would put on your body.
No, where else was he going to put it?
Adam, write this down.
The fuck else was he going to put it? Fucking idiot. Fucking Adam, why did you...
What, why do I want Squirtle Squad?
No, I don't... We're over that.
Yeah, well, you know what? You had to say Squirtle Squad. You couldn't just say Pikachu.
Nope.
You had to make it a gay-sounding
no,
Pokemon.
No, but the fact Squirtle that... Squad. I'm not going to lie. The fact that you selected a Pokemon kind of surprises me.
Yeah, and you know
why?
What?
Because I always pegged you as a Looney Tune guy.
Squirtle
no,
Squad?
No, see, I'm not going to do Looney Tune because here's the thing. I saw a guy on the subway with a faded Bugs Bunny tattoo on his forearm, and I was like, if this guy is in a fucking relationship, I'm going to kill myself. And that's the first thing. And, like, people get, like, the Tasmanian Devil tattoo and
Squirtle
like
Squad
that.
Just makes me think of, like, Bukkake movie.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine.
And I'm catching heat.
I would rather have people think that than
See?
Be like, oh, God, he has a Looney Tunes
See,
tattoo. He's
he,
white
now,
trash
now
and watches
he mentioned
NASCAR.
Catching. Why did he mention catching?
Because he's got to catch them all
term.
Like Pokemon.
Idiots. Idiots, not
he
idiots.
He set me up. I had to take that one for catching.
Catch him, take him. I mean, come on, fellas. Let's get out of the gutter. Any more news you have on that laptop of yours there?
I don't know. I thought it would be a busier news week than it has been.
Well, kind of. I mean, I don't...
I mean, Sting is coming up.
Sting.
Fastlane's coming up. Samoa Joe. I mean, Samoa Joe is really the big story.
I don't really have much else in my notes either. I mean, did we miss anything this past week? See, this is where Matt would call in and be like, hey, did you tell him about the show that happened down in Indianapolis with blah, blah, blah?
I don't know.
Oh, I can tell you one thing about the after party from Raw. Apparently Bray Wyatt worked John Cena in a dark match and wound up fucking doing his Balls Mahoney impression after the pin.
Oh, he threw up?
I read that, yeah.
He threw up, huh?
Yeah, so
did they say why?
No, it didn't come out why.
I'm pretty
but...
sure. I can almost guarantee it's not the same reason why Balls Mahoney throws up.
Well, hypothetically, yeah, probably.
Allegedly.
All right, let's just leave it at that.
No.
I wonder if he was looking for spaghetti in his like Balls did.
Oh, God, that was freaking repulsive. Fucking, I saw Balls Mahoney throw up in the stall next to me.
And he was going through it looking for what he had for dinner.
I could tell exactly what he had for dinner because he was telling me what he had for dinner, and then I saw it in the vomit.
Was there a story that I wanted to tell? I thought we were talking upstairs when you first got here, that there was something I wanted to talk about. I can't fucking remember what it was. No, wait. Did it have to do with Sunday? No, it didn't have to.
Yeah, it did.
Oh, okay. So
you want to break that down?
Well, I mean, Pat already put it out to the world that he was coming here to work on commentary this past weekend.
How deep into this are we going to get?
We're not getting deep. We're not getting deep. This is an ancillary story. So one of the commentators for PWS.
You could say his name.
Primetime Sam Roberts. I'm getting to it.
Yeah.
Well, Pat and he and Eddie, we got together on Sunday to do some of the commentary for Pro Wrestling Syndicate's upcoming television shows.
I wasn't here or anything.
Well, no, Kevin was here. Kevin was just taking it all in.
I was.
Kevin had a good spot. He didn't have to do anything except enjoy the show. But anyway, so Sam was running a little late. When Sam got here, apparently he didn't get to North Arlington. Apparently there's a North Arlington Avenue in Newark. And he actually got out of his car and was like staring at abandoned warehouses going, this is a messed up place to have a studio.
At North Arlington Ave. He was like, thank God it's 12:30 on a Sunday afternoon or else I would have never gotten out of my car. God, and for those of you who don't know, Newark, New Jersey, it has its nice parts, but like 75% of it, I would not get out of my car.
If you look at the top 10 worst places in the country, it's always between Camden. And Detroit. Sometimes Atlanta sneaks in.
Chicago, Baltimore.
Yeah, but
Newark and Camden are always in the top.
Newark's there, and Patterson's there a lot, too.
Good old
P-Town. That's where I was born. That's my born and raised.
Isn't that the bear with the fucking raincoat?
P-Town?
Patterson.
Paddington. Bear. Paddington. Yes. A boo.
I don't know. I was asking a serious question.
Yeah, so, but thankfully, Sam arrived unscathed, and
he seemed like he didn't even care. Like, it didn't faze him that he was walking around in abandoned warehouses.
When you're that naive, it's probably better for you. You know what I'm saying?
Like, he just walked out with confidence, like, where's the studio?
Like, hey, boy.
Oh, God.
Well, it could have been a white person. Why do you assume?
All right. You got me.
Where's the bell?
You
Shit.
Got me. No, it's... Oh, you got me. Because I never... all right.
No, you should have came back.
You fucking satisfied?
With,
you got me?
You should have came back with, how do you know it was a black person? Maybe it was a Puerto Rican.
Maybe it was a Puerto Rican.
Maybe it was an Irish guy.
God.
Maybe he was in that stance like the Fighting Irish looking for fisticuffs on the corner of North Arlington and MLK in Newark.
Oh, God. I don't know what I would do. Fucking, that was Eddie's fault because Eddie asked me the address of your house, which he's been to 8 million times.
And Eddie gave the wrong address to Sam?
He spelt it. He spelt it with two L's, so it was like Hendel.
But then
Sam just like not even giving it a second. It was like then it like you said, it took him to North Arlington Ave,
which I never knew existed. Who knows where Sam really wound up?
I believe every word that he said.
Seen that guy before too. He's like a smaller dude too.
Yeah,
like Sam guy.
He's a regular guy.
Like he's like an average size.
Yeah.
Guy. Like he's not like a wrestler or anything.
He's a thin fella.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like I would be like myself, I would never get out of the car. I would just keep driving. I'm like, fuck this, I'm not doing commentary, get me back to the suburbs.
So you'd take your ball and go home.
I would take my ball and go home, reroute from the suburbs and try to come back.
His free ball.
Yeah, that's right.
Your free ball and go home.
Yeah, so that was my story from Sunday.
It was a fun day. I learned a lot that day, and it's cool to see the product of coming together for a PWS television show.
I also learned that if you order pizza from Grubhub and it doesn't show up for 20 minutes after the arrival time, they may not have gotten the order.
Did you ever get your pizza?
I had to call them. I'm like, where's my pizza? He's like, we never got your order. So I had to call Grubhub and cancel with them. They actually gave me a coupon for $5 off my next order.
That's it? Grubhub did?
Grubhub. No, I mean, Pizza Land never found out about it. Pizza Land, by the way, yes, that Pizza Land from The Sopranos opening.
I was going to say, that does not sound like a real place.
No, it's like 5 blocks from me.
Pizza Land.
And they do a great...
Ooh,
they make
it's
a
like
great
an amusement park.
Yeah.
Listen, for Pat Buck to go for a second slice of pizza, and you know what kind of good shape he's in. Yeah. That's
from
a good
Pizza Land.
From Pizza Land.
I feel like their fucking phone number is 555.
Pizza.
Like, yeah, it's just... That stereotypical five TV sitcom.
They probably deliver in like a fez and like a mustache.
Yeah.
And like they're just all characters that come to your door from pizza, and they have to sing a song too
it's
when
like,
they get here.
Like the full band from Chuck E. Cheese.
Yes, that's what they. It actually takes six delivery guys to get you the pizza, and then they come here. They break into chorus.
I miss those animatronics at Chuck E.
Cheese. I do
too.
They don't have them anymore.
No, well, they might, but it's not like when we were kids.
Just like the ones that would all get up on stage and they would just drum like that.
Which Chuck E. Cheese would you go to? Did you go to the one by Willowbrook Mall?
No, the one in East Hanover.
Oh, that one's always been there? Is that like one of the originals or is that like just...
I don't know.
See, because I've been to the one in East Hanover and it's like, it looks like the way they all look now, like for real little kids. But when I was a kid, I mean, I'm a little older than you guys are. It was like full bore arcade.
Yes.
Where like it was like real games and you didn't just get four tokens for everything. Like you actually had to earn stuff.
Yeah.
And yeah, like they had one room with just tables and like they used to play the NFL football follies on the one TV. And then they had the party room, which was like, it was a huge stage.
Where the band was.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, when the one by Willowbrook Mall went out of business, they opened up like a national some shit or other. They still had the stage, and the six or seven animatronic things were still in the store.
Oh.
So as you walk around the store and do your shopping, there's Chuck E. Cheese and
That's
all his pals.
Cool.
It was fucking hysterical.
Our Chuck E. Cheese in Pittsburgh got replaced with a 24/7 gym. It was fucking bullshit.
Was it Planet Fitness? Because they serve pizza.
No, it was like some kind of... Yeah, they have like Pizza Tuesdays. And I also fell asleep in the ball pit at Chuck E. Cheese. For 2.5 hours when I was three.
No one noticed?
My dad did because I woke up to him reaching down into the ball pit, pulling me up by my collar of my shirt, going, "Where the hell have you been? We've been looking for you for 2 hours. I just burrowed down into the ball pit, into the corner.
God, how did you not suffocate?
I mean, it's not like, you know, it's just like little plastic balls.
That's true.
Well, yeah, but still, that's awful.
I went to a Chuck E.
Not
Cheese.
Not for me. I had a good nap.
Yeah, but they left you there for 2.5 hours.
Yeah, but you wasted your time at Chuck E. Cheese. How long was the party?
Well, if he had a good nap, maybe it wasn't
wasted
time.
Yeah, I had a good nap. I just burrowed down in the corner and
I went to
a Chuck E. Cheese in
Virginia, but it wasn't called a Chuck E. Cheese. It was the exact
same thing. Oh, Pizza Time Theater.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, because a matter of fact, Pizza Time Theater was Chuck E. Cheese's main competition back in the day.
But it was still a mouse.
No, because Chuck E. Cheese went out of business, and Pizza Time Theater bought out Chuck E. Cheese and went with the Chuck E. Cheese name.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's not
good. Because it was such a well-known brand.
See, I would have thought the only other competition for Chuck E. Cheese was we had Discovery Zone. DZ Discovery Zone. It was like a giant. Yeah.
They don't still exist, though,
do
they?
No.
I remember Discovery Zone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They always had the commercials on the old...
Yeah, Pizza Time Theater used to have like a Grimace-looking character.
Ah, you know what it was? It wasn't Pizza Time. It was... I'm pretty sure it was Showbiz.
Was it Showbiz Pizza Time Theater?
It could have been.
Then that's got to be the name.
But I still remember a fucking mouse there.
Are you sure it was a mouse? Because I remember something that looked like Grimace.
Are you thinking of an actual mouse being there? Like they had a health hazard? Because this place doesn't sound legit.
Yeah, the
Showbiz.
Mouse. They found
Showbiz
the mouse.
Pizza Place.
They found the mouse
is on par
pit.
With Pizza Land.
Apparently, the thing was sleeping for 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will be speaking to beautiful Bobby Eaton.
We talked about like 7 minutes of wrestling.
Yeah, but this is moving, man. I like shows like this.
True.
Is what happens when I show up places. We just talk about random 90s shit.
I like it. Whatever, a little change of pace never hurt nobody.
No, not at all. Not at all.
But we will get back to it.
And there's not a whole heck of a lot of news, it seems like, this week. Bobby Eaton's going to be coming on in a few minutes. He'll be promoting the beautiful one, Bobby Eaton, the documentary that's currently, I think, post-production at this point. But we'll get all that information from Bobby when we speak to him. Bobby Eaton Movie on the Facebook and Twitter, if you're interested, to keep up with the ongoings of Mr. Bobby Eaton. Former member of the Dangerous Alliance, probably most well-known for his tag teams with Dennis Condrey and Stan Lane, with their manager Jim Cornette as part of the Midnight Express. But he's more than that. He used to have a tag team with Coco Beware.
I bet he knows what showbiz is.
Probably.
Bet he does.
The Alabama Jammer himself. And I don't know. We got a few more minutes. Now I feel like we're looking for time here.
What about Raw? What about
well,
Raw?
We could get into Raw after the interview. I figure we'll take some time and do that.
Because I was going to say, I want to talk about the pay-per-view and how I refuse to call it Fastlane.
Is that a tease, or do you want to tell us what you
want to call it.
No, I'll tell you straight up. I'm calling it WWE Express Lane, 10 items or less. That's the only thing I'm calling it.
I think you're going to call it like pull over to the shoulder.
Nope. WWE Express Lane, 10 items or less pay-per-view.
Call it like Molly Pitcher Service Area.
That's pretty good because I think there's only like 5 matches on the thing so far.
Oh, really?
I mean, pretty sure there is.
Don't worry. We'll get some. Well, there is a Divas match on there, isn't there?
Yeah, and you got Ambrose Wyatt. Not Ambrose Wyatt. Ambrose Barrett. Now they announced. What else? Like, one of the matches is not even a match. It's a face-to-face conversation.
Oh, Sting and Triple H.
Sting.
And then, of course, the big match, Daniel Bryan versus Roman Reigns. What else do they have here?
Nothing.
They probably have gum on the side. So whenever you're like, oh, I should pick up some gum, too, while I'm here.
Why? Because of the express lane. It's 10 items.
Yeah, but you got to be careful, because if you got 10 items and you grab a pack of gum, now you got to move out of the express lane. Mm-hmm. Now you got to go to slow as shit lane.
So they got to tread lightly.
With like,
oh, you got Cena Rusev.
Oh God! Wonderful. Thanks, Adam.
You know when Adam hates John Cena more than anyone I've ever met in my entire life. Is that a fair statement, Adam?
Not the person.
No, not the person.
The character.
You hate the character.
Yeah.
And I am cringing at this match. Like, I think what they we'll get into it, I guess, because you have a couple minutes before Mr. Eaton calls in.
I mean, we can say we can wait and we can talk about something else from the fucking 90s if you want.
Yeah.
Because I'll do that all day.
All day, every day.
I really will.
So what? Who would your cartoon character tattoo be?
Mine? Yeah, this is good. Let's bring this back.
Well, I don't. Do you have any tattoos? You do.
I have 7.
Do you really?
No, he doesn't.
I know. I think he does. I think I remember asking this question before.
So what does your body look like when you're naked?
I've known Adam for fucking like...
Exquisite.
Probably almost... How long
have you seen Adam's balls?
It's been a long time.
Let's keep the tradition going. Have you seen Adam's balls?
No.
Adam seen your balls?
No, he has not. Mm-mm. Matt, this is all stemming from a story.
I don't think he's ever even seen me in glasses before.
I was just thinking that, dude.
Yeah, these are my raw general manager glasses.
You didn't look like you when I answered the door. I'm like, oh,
yeah,
okay,
I felt that
Adam.
You were like, what the fuck? Yeah. He thought you were
Pizza Land.
Yeah. You're finally here after 3 days.
I don't have any. I'm a fucking scaredy cat, so I probably would get a scaredy cat tattoo.
So you would get like Felix the cat.
I would get a cat, and he would just.
Are you scared of needles or what is it?
No, because I had my ears pierced before.
Oh, okay.
Another thing to add to the list, Adam.
And I've had a bunch of shots. The left ear.
I think that's a good place to take a break. Folks, right. We'll be back when we return.
There's
beautiful.
Nothing I can say now from the rest of the show that's not going to result in something.
You're gay. You're fucking gay.
Thanks. Thanks, KM.
We'll be back.
You probably have 80 podcasts in your queue that you'll never catch up on, but I bet none of them cover the worlds of professional wrestling and heavy metal music.
That's where Neckbreaker fills the gap. We drink a truckload of beers, interview the best metal bands, and cover the latest pro wrestling headlines, all in one drunken mess of a podcast.
Find our episodes on iTunes, the Shining Wizards Network, Stitcher Radio, and Neckbreaker.net. Be sure to follow our drunk and irrelevant updates on Twitter and Facebook at NB Podcast.
Shalom, it's the unprofessional Jewosaurus, Jay Silver, right here to tell you about 2.5 Wrestlers Podcast. It's myself, Kevin Matthews, Pat Buck, and our newest member, former WWE superstar Kurt Hawkins, now going as Brian Myers, because the man needed something else to do on Monday nights now that he was free. 2.5 Wrestlers Podcast, available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and of course, right here at Shining Wizards Network.
Hey, it's your boy, the Impact Player, Mr. Phil Rea, inviting all of you, when you're done with this podcast, head back on over to the Shining Wizards Network. That's right, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, where myself and Dave Megapowers are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, covering everything from the current to the way back. It's the Turnbuckle Throwbacks on the Shining Wizards Network. ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, entertainment here.
Hi, this is Justin.
And Tim.
And Vince.
And Timmy.
And we are your hosts of the Inconclusive Breakdown Podcast, bringing you the best in entertainment news and opinions.
We cover the worlds of movies, TV, music, sports, video games, comic books, and of course, professional wrestling, as well as pop culture top 10 lists and fan castings. New episodes every Sunday. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio, proud members of the Shining Wizards Network.
What's up? It's Mike from The Midnight Jury. The Midnight Jury is a podcast where you, the listener, are able to be transported back to the 80s and 90s every Friday to talk about everything pro wrestling, pop culture, and horror. From segments such as My Five Fun Facts in Under 2 Minutes and Adam's Finally Rediscovered, to past guests such as Jake the Snake Roberts, Buff Bagwell, and the horror icon, Chucky himself, Ed Gale, you will find yourself going back to the days before iPhones and social media to when it was all about records, Walkmans, arcades, and malls. Find us on Facebook and Twitter and join myself and my co-host Adam every Friday on The Midnight Jury. Available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and Audioboo for the Shining Wizards Network, and Fridays at 5, 4 Central to start your weekend on Geek Life Radio. ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. Entertainment here.
Ladies and gentlemen, our guest on the Shining Wizards Hotline is considered one of the nicest guys in professional wrestling. You may know him as Beautiful. You probably know him in one of the, well, both incarnations of the Midnight Express. The Midnight Express that counts, by the way, not something Paul Heyman did. And part of the Dangerous Alliance. He's a tag team specialist, but he's also had a great singles career. Ladies and gentlemen, a legend to all of us, Beautiful Bobby Eaton. How you doing tonight, man?
Doing very well, man. How are you?
Hanging in there, brother. Hanging in there. It is cold up here. How are things down where you are?
Cold. Cold.
Now, we're here to talk to you about your documentary, the Beautiful One. But before we get into that, I know that over the past couple of months, even the past year, we've been hearing things, you know, about your health and how you're doing. So we just want to ask you, how you doing physically these days?
Well, I'm doing good, man. You know, I'm doing good. Taking medicine and, you know, hanging in there.
That's good to hear. That's good to hear. Now, we've been talking about reaching out to you for a while to have you on the show, and we came across the fact that you know, the Beautiful One, the Bobby Eaton documentary is in the works right now. Was this something that you wanted to be involved in? Is this something that you had thought about doing prior to this going into production, or was this something that you were approached with?
No, man, be honest with you, I don't even know nothing about this Beautiful One thing, really.
It's Terrence's deal, Bob.
Terrence, okay, yeah. But Terrence is a friend of mine, you know, I don't keep up with stuff like that, you know.
Okay, so it was
I'll jump in there, guys. Basically, Terrence is, he announces and stuff, that sort of thing, in Northeast Arkansas, and he had just had the idea of, you know, in the sense of a documentary, it's really as much as that as it's putting together comments from guys from around the business that have, you know, worked with Bobby. First kind of started out more so from the local level, you know, local guys that wrestled, and then as it got on, he started getting more and more people involved, guys like, you know, Jerry Jarrett, Jeff Jarrett, Jim Cornette, you know, Bill Dundee, you know, name quality talent that wanted to go ahead and throw their 2 cents in on Bobby, and so J.J. Dillon even did one, so it kind of took a life of its own, and which is actually the good and bad is by getting a lot of those names, it's taking, adding to the process. So he's got way much more footage than he had originally anticipated. So it's kind of one of those projects that's ongoing, and he'll, I imagine, sometime later this year have it completed.
So just to clarify, Bobby, this is not your project. This is a project that someone approached you with, and now you're just kind of on board with. Are you filming any footage of yourself on this, like talking?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he's just supporting the fact that Terrence is doing it.
Terrence is a friend of mine, so I mean, and he's already asked me, and we've done some stuff before. I'm not a big interviewer. I'm not a big guy doing the kind of things. So.
Just to let the folks in that are checking this out, Terrence Ward is actually the gentleman that's in charge of the documentary. It's under Terrence Ward Films. If you're interested in finding out about the documentary, you can go to Facebook. The Facebook name is Bobby Eaton Movie, and if you want some information on Twitter, it's also at Bobby Eaton Movie. Bobby, there were a couple things, you know, recently with the dawn of WWE Network. I'm sure, you know, a lot of our listeners subscribe to the service. And for those of them, for those of you who are not aware of Bobby Eaton and his contributions to wrestling, I highly suggest going to check out some of the stuff. One of the things I specifically wanted to ask you about, and believe me, I'm a huge fan of the Midnight Express, the stuff you did before that with Coco, you know, a lot of the stuff that came later on, like, you know, the whole Earl Robert Eaton thing. But one thing that I really wanted to talk to you about was your match from Clash of Champions 15 with the Nature Boy, the 2 out of 3 falls match. And to me, all the tag team and all the other singles matches and the championships aside, that to me showed me perfectly what Bobby Eaton was capable of in the ring. How did that match come about, and what were your thoughts going into that?
Yeah, anytime you get a chance to work with Ric Flair, as a champ, you know, one of the probably the greatest wrestler, you know, that we've had ever. I don't know about Stranger Lewis or anybody like that. Shoot. Yeah, but I was so glad to work with him. He's a great worker. He works hard.
And it was a great match. I think it told a perfect story, too. You know, you went in there, you did what you needed to do to win the first fall, and it was immaculate watching the Alabama Jam finish off, you know, the Nature Boy. Right. And, you know, and the match continued to tell the story where you went for it again, you wound up getting hurt, and that's what eventually cost you the match. You know, one that's definitely one match that I could recommend, you know, to people to check out. The other match, which probably not so much, but to check it out for historical purposes, the opening match to Great American Bash. Now, I know that you've been in a few scaffold matches in your day, but what's going through your mind with this particular scaffold match? It didn't look like things were really going in any particular way, and quite frankly, it looked pretty damn scary being up there with PN News and Terrence Taylor and a still young Steve Austin.
Yeah, they sucked. I mean, the scaffold matches, all of them. I never went up there with just a chance of having a great match. You know, how are you going to have a match on the damn scaffold? It's scary if you take the wrong step.
Right. This is true.
I can't argue with that. All right, now, Bobby, fast-forwarding later in your career in WCW, Eric Bischoff is introduced as the new executive vice president, a whole new era of WCW with talent from up north. But for some reason, you were always there and solidified a role in various different forms, I guess specifically the Earl Robert Eaton character. What do you think, even with all Eric Bischoff trying to get rid of the good, like the good old boys Southern style of professional wrestling, why do you think that you were always a staple and were always kept by the company?
Well, Eric Bischoff kept me around. You know, I liked Eric Bischoff, but he gave me one of my favorite gimmicks in the world. That was with Steve Regal. You know, the English thing. I like working for Eric, you know.
Did you ever have any issues with some of the new guys that were brought down, like a Scott Hall or a Kevin Nash or even Hogan?
No, never had a problem at all. You know, anything. You know, they accepted me. It was a new wave of wrestling.
Was the locker room atmosphere, like you said, you never had a problem, but you see on all these WWE produced documentaries that how people were nervous.
Yeah, man, most of it's bad blood, you know, just they don't want to, you know. Most of the guys that was getting the push or wanting the push, if they didn't get it, then they started knocking the promotion, you know.
Bobby, I think what we want to do next, because there's so many people that we wanted to ask you about specifically, but Kevin actually had a great idea. We want to play a little bit of a word association with you. Not necessarily one or two words, but if there's if there's a thought you have on a particular person or, you know, a quick story that you want to tell us, you know, once you hear who it is, you know, give us your thoughts. All right, cool.
All right, the first name I have for you is Stan Lane.
Stan Lane, well, good friend of mine, very good friend of mine. And the most famous question is, who's my favorite partner? Dennis Condry, Stan Lane, you know, whatever. But he never mentioned Coco Ware, who was my favorite partner. you know, that we, you know. I know, Brian. I don't need no 2 cents worth over here.
We're going to fight in a minute.
All right. The next name I got for you is Ricky Morton.
Ricky Morton? One of my all-time buddies, you know. I talked to him today. You know, there wouldn't be no probably no Midnight Express about the Rock and Roll Express. You know, and if it wasn't for the whole thing, it would be for Bill Watts, Jerry, you know. Ricky Morton's a great worker. Still works. He's actually 21.
Gotcha. Yeah. Lanny Poffo.
Lanny Poffo, good friend of mine. Good friend. Yeah, one of my tag team partners when I first broke into business with my good friend Tojo Yamamoto. Do you know who that is?
Yes, absolutely.
Tojo. Yeah. He was a guy that taught me so much. I rode down the road with him for many miles, and he taught me everything. I mean, he was serious wrestling business.
All right, next one.
Yeah.
Next one. I'm sorry, go ahead. If you have more to say, go for it.
That's it. Go ahead.
Vince McMahon, Jr.
Jr.? Oh, I don't know, man. Well, he was always nice to me. You know,
obviously your paths have crossed, was there any ever interaction about perhaps working for WWE?
Yeah, you know, he flew me and Dennis the Cornette up to New York, 1985 or whatever it was, what year it was. And offered us a job. But he didn't offer us a job like to try to steal us away from there, from Jim Crockett Promotion. He said, yeah, you use this. You can say, you know, Jim, you know, that's a man offered us a job. You know, which he did. But we were doing good. We were doing the same amount of money where we were at that we probably would have done then at there for him. You know, it was just, you know, and not as many dates, you know.
Gotcha. All right, just three more I got for you. That's it. Just three more, and we'll cut you loose.
Partner?
What's that?
Who's my favorite partner, dude? Stan Lane. No, go ahead.
I've heard that one before. So, I'm gonna go. You know what? I'll skip one of them. I'll go Jim Cornette.
He was the big part of the Midnight Express. But him and I traveled up and down the road and talked about. We'd go. How can we just come up with some different finishes? Like a lot of finishes that they do. And Jim Cornette's when he did Rob, that's stuff that we came up with up on the 2 o'clock in the morning, you know. Jim Cornette's a smart guy, man, you know. He got a little too, you know, wide open for me. You know, I don't care nothing about that. You know. I'm not wanting to try to run the world. You know, shoot.
Absolutely. All right, last one for you.
All right.
Paul Heyman.
I love him. He paid me more money for segment than I had done for anybody else. One place there in ECW. You know, cause I was scared to go up there. These guys were them breaking people, throwing them off top of a building. You know, shoot. You know, I'm not involved in that. I've been dropped off a scaffold already. For God's sakes, guys. Shoot. I love Paul Heyman. One of the smartest guys I've met, and a good friend of mine.
Bobby, when everything's all said and done, when your career is finally over, because I know you're still out there, I know you're making the appearances and whatnot, what's the one thing that you want people to take away from the career of Bobby Eaton?
Well, I don't know what my one thing would be, you know, just that I love the wrestling business. I love the rest. And I want everybody else to that breaks in to love it. Don't come in and knock on it because just because you don't get a break 6 weeks, you know, you may get a break a year from then or now, whatever. I just say hang in there. You know, that's what I did. I began putting the ring up, and I put the ring up every Friday in Alabama. Couldn't wait to do it. I'd love to do it. I don't even know if guys put the rings up anymore. You know?
Yeah, I think that's a lost form of, you know, being part of the business and breaking in is, you know, that's where you start. You put up the ring, you break down the ring. Pack it up, take it to the next show, unpack it, and set it up again.
Every night.
Yeah, I believe that.
Yeah. I love doing it. I couldn't wait to do it.
No, it's fun. I wrestled myself years ago, and yeah, that was one of the things, you know. Like you said, if you're not immersed in it, then why bother?
Well, you've got to want to be in the wrestling business. You know, I wanted to play for the Green Bay Packers. Of course, that never happened. You know, a thing. And I always wanted to be a wrestler, you know, or a football player. So I don't know. But, you know, it was more convenient to be able to go put the ring up on Friday afternoon, put it up, take it down, and maybe have a spot show somewhere during the week or next week or 2 weeks there, you know. I love doing it. You gotta love this business.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. The documentary is called The Beautiful One. If you want some information on the movie, go on over to Facebook and look for Bobby Eaton Movie. If you want to follow him on Twitter, it's at Bobby Eaton Movie. Bobby, before we let you go, is there anything that you want to let your fans know out there?
No, thank you. Just keep coming out to all wrestling matches, all around your, you know, some, you know, wherever they are. Go support them. You've got a lot of young talent, you know. Yeah, I'm not a good interviewer. Shoot.
No, this went way better than you think. So
we're doing fine, Bobby. We're doing fine.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Like I said before, you know, before the Fridays in Alabama, I was in junior high school or in high school, and Friday afternoon I couldn't wait for them just to put up that ring. Because they never would let you get around the ring. They never would let you get around the ring, touch the ropes. They wouldn't let you, you know, damn. I'm like, shit, I just put the damn thing up, you know.
Right. You mentioned, Bobby, that you always wanted to play for the Packers. Did you catch any of the NFL postseason? Did you watch the Super Bowl? Did you watch that?
Yeah, I watched the whole thing.
That,
yeah.
How'd you feel about, now, I'm assuming you're a Packers fan?
I'm a Heat Packer fan.
What was going through your mind that onside kick?
I don't get involved with that kind of stuff because it makes me crazy. You know, St. Louis.
I hear you. I'm a Jets fan, so I know about wanting to go crazy watching football games. So,
yeah.
So I hear you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us, Bobby.
Take care.
Thanks for having me. I'm sorry I'm not a great interviewer, but...
No, this was fun.
Bobby, we learned a lot, man. No worries, brother. You did fine.
Thank you. Take care. It's fine.
Be good.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. That was beautiful Bobby Eaton. Yeaton. Like saying that every time I say his name, even though it's not him.
Bobby Eaton. Guys, I don't know if you know this. He's not the best interview in the world.
No, but he's fine, dude. You know what? Best interview, worst interview. I just like talking to these guys.
Of course.
We got a lot of good stuff out of him tonight, even though, like, he's a shy fella.
He
wasn't really known for his interviews back in the day either.
Adam, you know what I mean, Adam?
I know what you mean.
I don't know if I know what Adam means. Adam, do I know what you mean?
You know what I mean.
All right.
Okay, you guys had another gay moment. Please
that was,
write that down.
That was because it was just a rib on our friend Bobby Eaton.
Eaton?
But no, I mean, it's still always our pleasure when we have legends, and that's a bona fide 100% legend.
Absolutely. Like, I first suggested to Matt a few weeks ago, I'm like, you know, like, well, actually, it was when you guys spoke about him when you guys did your show together. And I'm like, Bobby Eaton's a guy we should have on the show. And, dude, then Matt's like, oh, we're going to have Bobby Eaton tomorrow night. I was like, really? What?
And to find out that he wasn't, he was a guy, and this was the question that I thought of while we were here, was the fact that all this invasion, all these New York guys, all this new, like, direction that WCW had, Bobby Eaton, no matter what, was still always a presence in that locker room.
And he even said it. He really enjoyed being, like, Earl Robert Eaton.
Those vignettes, I don't know if you were familiar with WCW. Did you watch WCW back then?
No.
He was knighted.
He was knighted, yeah, by Earl Robert Eaton.
By the Queen.
And it was those vignettes when they were so funny and so good. And Bobby Eaton, who is not known for having the brightest of personalities, as you could tell.
Well, I wouldn't say not brightest of personalities, but he's not a good interview.
He always had a mouthpiece.
Exactly.
He had Jim Cornette. He had Paul Heyman.
And he had
Anderson as a tag team partner.
And he was the kind of guy that let his talking, you know, in the ring.
And he was never the most imposing-looking guy. He was never even the most, like, gifted-looking guy. He didn't have an amazing look,
Kevin,
I don't think.
He was beautiful, Bobby.
I get it, but sometimes I think that's a play on words.
He's
a constant.
And his match, I'm telling you, people, look for the match. It was Clash of the Champions 15. His match with Ric Flair closes the show. It's 2 out of 3 falls. It's an impeccable story. The action is great. Flair lays into him. He lays into Flair. It's an amazing match. For the 15 minutes they were given for 2 out of 3 falls, yes, it was compressed, but it told a great story. And it was Bobby Eaton getting a pinfall on Ric Flair, which was amazing in and of itself.
One of the all-time greats.
Midnight Express stuff with everybody they faced. The Legion of Doom, the Fantastics, the Rock and Roll Express.
And despite what everyone knows about him with all that, he still seems like he's one of the more underappreciated talents of all time.
You know what?
And a shame that he didn't get... He had a great run, don't get me wrong. Probably 99% of the wrestling world would be jealous of what he's accomplished. But he didn't have that run that made him, like, the guy ever.
But you know what? You go back and watch some of the old matches.
He had good matches. You're right.
That scaffold match I mentioned from Great American Bash was probably the worst drizzling shits scaffold match ever.
And he said it.
And the fans were still chanting, Bobby, Bobby, Bobby. It was a fucking thing of beauty. Pardon the pun.
And you can find, this is Bobby Eaton's Facebook. It's Bobby Eaton / Midnight Express fan page. That's more of an accurate way of getting in touch with him, reaching out to him, and I guess Brian, who's his manager, I'm assuming, or something.
Yeah, that was Brian Thompson.
Brian Thompson.
Not Brian Thompson from the Neckbreaker podcast.
Oh, okay.
That was a different Brian.
A good interview. He had some nice comments about Ricky Morton, McMahon, Paul Heyman.
Cornette, yeah.
Yep. So, great, albeit brief interview. Now,
Kevin's interview about the interview was actually longer than the interview.
I know. But now we transition into the WWE, the wild world of Vince McMahon's deranged head, and we go to Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, good old Monday Night Raw.
The go-home show to, what's it called?
WWE 10 items or less, express length.
Exactly. Thoughts on the show overall? Again, I don't really... I'm not going in there expecting A-plus shows ever anymore. So it doesn't bother me when I just see stuff and accept it for what it is. The big idea picture, Adam, is Daniel Bryan, Roman Reigns, obviously, and Sting, Triple H. That's what they're selling this pay-per-view on, correct? Sting.
Yeah. And I was worried because... when they started having Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan, you know, kind of go after each other, I was like, this isn't really a good idea to do after everything that happened at the Royal Rumble.
Meaning that Roman Reigns will immediately get
booed.
Yeah.
But I was surprised with Raw that it was kind of even when those two were brawling at the end.
Yeah, a lot of people were complaining about Roman Reigns no-selling in the brawl, but like, I even did it too last night, but I watched it again today, and I was like, what is there to really sell? There are punches, kicks, and a dive through the ropes, and a chair shot on a bulletproof vest.
And Roman Reigns is supposed to be the monster in this situation.
Exactly.
You know, Daniel Bryan's always going to be the scrappy underdog, no matter how you slice it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he'd have to wrestle Jimmy Hart to be the favorite, to be honest with you. Seriously. He's in that role. That's why Kane always pushed him around. Big Show pushed him around. You know, he's always been fighting from the bottom.
Yeah, and Adam Lucidi, our guest in studio today, our third wizard, he's an icon for his hashtag Raw tweets. And
I don't know about that.
More like
a nuisance.
More like a dude. To me, I'm like the, we talked about this last time we were in studio. I'm like an apprentice to your Raw tweets. I like consult him. Like, he's my Paul Heyman. I'm his, you know, Brock Lesnar, but not really ready yet. But the best was, you had, in reference to the Super Bowl halftime show, you had Big Show and Kane as the Katy Perry's left sharks.
Yeah, they're the left sharks of WWE.
And the famous ones were the left ones? Is that the one that got
the left shark is the one, yeah.
So I thought that was great. Big Show and Kane,
they're just a mess.
It's
both of them.
It's ridiculous.
It's too much. And now they're teasing possibly of I don't know if they resolved all that last night. But
great, a Big Show
Kane feud, yeah.
Ugh.
You think we get
Can
that?
Can Kane just put his fucking tights back on already?
I know.
He's gonna wrestle in fucking pants and loafers every week.
He needs dress slacks.
Ugh. It's ridiculous.
He needs dress slacks.
And the Rosebud, another tweet, another gem from Adam. The Rosebuds just became the biggest heels in the history of WWE, in reference to the Page.
Oh, yeah, with Nakey Page.
Nakey Page. They were teasing that. I thought we were going to, I mean, basically.
You really thought she was going to come out and wrestle naked?
Well, she had the towel on. She might as well have been naked.
She was getting sage advice.
The towel was just as white as her
complexion. They should have at least made her run around the arena a little bit more in the towel.
She was getting sage advice from Naked Midian.
She was getting sage Page advice.
Ugh,
because
boo.
What's her name was right outside her dressing room.
Oh, boo.
What's the Funkadactyl? What's that Funkadactyl?
Cameron.
Yeah. The one that's girl bi.
Well, it's...
She's girl bi?
I think.
That's Black History Month. She's getting screen time.
I think she's girl bi, right?
She might be.
So, yeah, she was hanging right
she's
outside
hot,
the locker
Whatever
room, and
is.
Then the Rosebuds were there.
Ooh.
They should have made Nakey Page run
Matt
around a little
bit more.
Matt
brought up a good point.
What about, we're just going to no-sell Nakey Page for Adam here?
Well, I mean, how much more do you want us to talk about Nakey Page?
I feel like...
I'm trying to bring it back
as
to
much
gay.
As it takes for them to bring it back.
I'm trying to get you back to gay. Yeah, so New Day, did they wrestle?
Yes.
Who did they take
they
on?
Golden Stardust.
And they won, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
they did.
So New Day is still undefeated for Black History Month.
Look at that.
I don't think they've lost.
But it cancels it out, because when Kofi Kingston won, Michael Cole called him Xavier Woods. So, canceled
please tell
out.
Please tell me JBL called him out and said they don't all look alike.
I don't think he did.
See, he should have.
I don't think he did.
If this was fucking Attitude Era, he definitely would have.
Funniest part of Monday Night Raw was when it was during this match, teasing the dissension between Gold and Stardust, how JBL says, look at all the other brother tag teams that had dysfunction, the Steiner brothers, the Briscoe brothers, the Funk brothers, and Booker T said, listen, JBL, but Gold and Stardust are actually brothers. Like, did you catch that?
Oh my god!
Where he was like insinuating that the Steiner brothers weren't real brothers.
What a dummy!
And he was.
Well, can we confirm that?
Can we
confirm that? One of them might have been created in a lab. We don't know. We have no idea.
That can I pull you up audio from Booker T?
I'm going to try. Oh, no, not that audio. But if you could find.
As long as it's him going,
I can't.
Oh,
if I look for anything on here, I'll crash the system. I can't. Once this thing's rolling, it's rolling. What else was there? Reigns over Kane by count out. Why? Why count out? Why couldn't he just beat Kane? What are they protecting Kane for?
Did that do anything to tease Daniel Bryan again?
Yeah, I don't know. Wasn't Daniel Bryan involved or something?
He was there getting the crowd to do yes chants
while
to kind of distract Roman Reigns.
He was just at ringside on commentary, right?
Yeah. Okay. And then Roman Reigns was not on commentary when he came out.
So they're trying to turn Daniel Bryan heel?
No.
Kind of in a way?
I think the opposite. If they're teasing a heel turn anywhere, it's Roman Reigns.
But what are they trying to do? Like, are they trying to balance out Reigns and are they trying to make it 50-50 for this Sunday?
I think so.
Is that their goal?
I mean,
I don't think it's going to work.
Where's the pay-per-view? Do we know?
It's in the fast lane.
At the Whole Foods.
No such thing as a fast lane.
There's no preservative here.
I mean, I think what we initially thought of this feud was that they were trying to use Daniel Bryan as a way to get fan support behind Roman Reigns. But that doesn't seem to be the case now. Now I think they're trying to... Like, look at that brawl that ended the show. I thought that was really well done.
Yeah.
I think their problem
and people
is...
people liked it.
I think the problem is they didn't stay the course.
What do you mean?
Because now they listen to the fans, and now what do? Like, where does it go from here?
We'll find
out.
Oh,
so you're saying that it could probably get worse for Roman Reigns once he beats Daniel Bryan?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Worst comes to worst, maybe someone interferes, and then they both go.
You know what's going
to
happen?
To WrestleMania, and that's another triple threat?
Well, you know what's going to happen? If Roman Reigns wins... You just took Brock Lesnar, who was already a face after the triple threat match.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to be an uber face at WrestleMania, mm-hmm. and the crowd's going to shit on Roman Reigns
if
even
you,
more.
Yeah, if you have the singles match. But now, like Adam said, as much as I don't want to see it, I don't think it's going to turn off the casual fan enough to have another triple threat match. I think we are pretty positive that's what we're going to get.
But what
now.
Do you think, one-on-one, Lesnar wins, and then Seth Rollins plays uber heel and fucking cashes in?
I honestly do think
whether
Rollins
or not he wins or
in.
Loses is irrelevant, but he comes in and he tries to take advantage of a hurt Brock. You'll give Roman Reigns the credit that he's the one that hurt Brock, because then if Brock loses, then Brock can go away. If Brock still wins...
I don't know if he'll give Roman Reigns credit, because he's been running around and talking about, I broke Brock Lesnar's rib. And like they keep putting that like Rollins is the one that like put a...
stamp on
yeah.
his...
Yeah, but then Rollins can be uber heel if he does beat Brock Lesnar and go, you know...
I think he already is
he
uber
goes,
heel.
He goes, I beat him, and Reigns is like, you beat him because I had him beat down.
Oh, yeah.
You just took advantage of a situation I created. Then after WrestleMania, maybe Roman Reigns turns face.
That could be.
In the chase against Seth Rollins, who's the heel champion.
That would help Roman Reigns. I think Roman Reigns would get the face reaction 100% that he's looking for now.
You have to be able to swallow it, though, through WrestleMania.
I was just
going to
bring that up.
Heel.
When was the last time we had a WrestleMania where the ending was the most dastardly thing you've ever seen? Like
probably when
Yokozuna?
The Miz? Whatchamacallit?
Cena,
yeah.
Oh, I was going to say Stone Cold and Vince. It's 17.
I don't even think it was that bad because the crowd still popped for Austin. I don't think the crowd
really
gave.
They were in Texas, though. That's why.
And Triple H also won WrestleMania 2000 as the heel.
Was that
when it was like it was the McMahon party?
All right, so that's 15 years.
Yeah, that's a long time ago.
So in the recent history of WrestleManias, we've seen. I mean, other than last year, you can count the WrestleMania moment being Brock Lesnar going over Undertaker. But more or less, the closing image of the show
was
confetti.
Yeah.
All this. When was the last time we had something opposite of that? The Miz.
It would have to be the Miz.
Yeah, to start that quote-unquote new season.
Are they ready to do that? To have a heel be the closing of WrestleMania?
If it leads to their ultimate goal of getting Roman Reigns over and making him the champion, that's a possibility. That's a complete possibility. But they have to be willing to take that. Maybe they don't even make that the main event at WrestleMania. Maybe Triple H and Sting take the main event spot.
I hope not. That match, I don't
have
enough faith
in the
match.
I hope not either, but who else would you put in that main event spot over your world championship match?
No one. That's the
match.
Like,
you don't have two titles anymore, so you can't flip-flop that shit anymore, you know?
That's Lesnar on his own. He's like, he's main event draw.
I agree. That's going to, no matter what the main event is, whether it's one-on-one Brock versus Daniel or one-on-one Brock versus Roman Reigns or a triple threat match, no matter what it is, that's closing the show.
And if they go triple threat, then it gives them the excuse to let Daniel Bryan win.
Which
he probably shouldn't do.
Or at least it gives them, Daniel Bryan, Brock Lesnar, which people do want to see, I think. I think they should do the triple threat.
I thought either one of those matches, Brock Roman, Brock Daniel Bryan, either one of those I thought was money. I couldn't care less if you didn't pick Daniel Bryan.
The thing that sold me with Roman and Brock Lesnar was the night that Raw got canceled and they had to do the thing from the headquarters.
Oh, the interview show.
Yeah, that's what sold me on Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar. I was like, all right, I'm in.
100% agree. And I think that this was his second best showing to that, I think, last night on Raw. the handshake, we respect each other. Nope, turn around. I'm going to beat the hell out of you. You're going to beat the hell out of me. Let's just make this a fight for fast lane or express 10 items or
express
less.
Express lane, 10 items or less.
So I don't care where they go. The purist, I guess, whatever, call me a purist. I don't want to see another triple threat match. I think we've seen too many of them as our main events as WrestleManias.
You're right, and we even had one at the Royal Rumble. Like, we've had triple threats all the time.
But they tie themselves into this position where that if we don't get at least some of what we want, and by we, I mean, internet freaking fans.
The IWC.
Or
you could say it.
Which is stupid. I hate that fucking term because it's 2015.
It's been around for a long time.
Yeah, but everyone's connected to the internet.
Everyone's internet.
Point.
That's the community.
Yeah, but
that
you know what?
That is the community. That is it.
Adam, I would agree.
10-year-olds are online.
Yeah, but I would agree. But when you say internet wrestling community, you're not talking about people that go to WWE.com. You know what I'm saying? You're not talking about people that follow John Cena on Twitter.
I go to WWE.com every day.
Yeah, but you're talking about people like us who not only follow WWE, but follow and have a grasp on like a lot of the other stuff that's going on.
Which
you think the average 10-year-old really gives a shit or knows about Ring of Honor and shit like that?
I agree.
And I thought you were going to say knows or gives a shit about dirt sheets.
Yes.
And that's what I thought you were
going to say. But I mean, same thing, you know?
They go hand in hand, believe it or not. That not just Ring of Honor specifically, just the underbelly of pro wrestling.
Hell,
not,
I was crushed when Stone Cold teamed with Vince at the end of WrestleMania 17.
Well, how old are you then?
16.
There you go.
Jesus.
I'd have had internet. I should have knew where a dirt sheet was. See, that was coming.
But which brings me to a point that everyone always says it's about WWE appeals to more than just the live audience in the crowd. They appeal to the TV audience, more or less. So, like, that's why if the crowd at the TV show live doesn't get what they're trying to do, it's not about them. I can do one show for them, but I have to appeal to the millions that are watching on TV. Yeah. I think it's to the point now, and I could be reaching here, he's got to start accepting the live crowd as being just as important as the TV audience, because the people there are also not liking what he's doing.
Well, that's the other thing too, but it's the perception of what's on TV as well. Like, you hear Pat, you know, talk about like the PWS production all the time. There's things that you want to go for in a look and things that you can do without. Like with the streamers. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, that was just a debacle. Good idea at the time.
Yeah.
But that's also the fans not knowing. And for those of you who don't know, who have not been to PWS shows, they provide streamers to the audience to do big match feel.
Well, I don't know. No, they don't provide them. The fans actually bring them themselves. You know what? I actually had Hummer. I know, we're name dropping. But she actually gave us, which led to me being in that poor old guy in the head. but what I'm saying is, like,
It's a moot point who provides the streamers
But the point is, it's the perception. And if you have a nationally televised product and the people in the crowd are actively shitting on it, it speaks bad to what you're doing. And it's just like the PWS. If you're watching a match on television and all it is people throwing shit in the ring, well, that's a fucking poor representation of what your product is.
Right.
You know, that's my overall point, whether it's streamers or crowd reaction or anything like that, what have you. Like NWO winning, Hollywood Hogan spray painting somebody, yeah, throw all the fucking bottles in the ring that you want. But if it's Johnny B. Badd and Bobby Eaton 5 minutes into their opening match and people are throwing shit in the ring, come on, man.
I agree.
Fucking makes your product look like shit.
Now, and here's at what point, when you go constantly from show to show and people are just saying, no, it's Philadelphia, they're a harsh crowd, they're going to boo who they want, they're going to boo the good guys and cheer the bad guys, at what point do you realize at show after show, no matter what city you're in, it's the same reaction as the, like, you could be in Des Moines, Iowa, getting the same reaction as Philadelphia. At that point, you have to realize, hey, this is probably not the best idea to go.
Or if you're TNA, you get the same non-reaction.
Well, with this past show...
Like what I did there, Adam?
With this past show not included, because I watched the show, the first taping from Glasgow, and that's a smooth transition of TNA, and I watched it, and that crowd was very receptive. It's a European crowd. It's a United Kingdom crowd. They were alive, and it...
Right, right.
And you saw the people there.
With their tooth.
Yeah. And the collective tooth.
That's what I meant.
Yeah.
20,000 people, one tooth.
I think that kind of goes hand in hand with NXT, because they're at the same place all the time, you know what I mean? And then once these NXT guys get brought up to the main roster, it's like they kind of have to build that up again and kind of fall flat sometimes.
And that's a point that I brought up. There's no, when a new guy debuts now, there's no mystery of, well, who is this guy? What is he doing here? Because you've seen him on NXT for the last year and a half.
I think their problem, though, with bringing the NXT guys up is that they change their character too much. They don't give the character a, well, I mean,
I don't think they're good. They don't. They can't do that anymore.
But for every Ascension, though, where they do change it, there's an Emma where they didn't change it. It just didn't resonate.
Right. But they don't change it to the point where
Emma still disappoints me. That fucking gimmick.
But they don't change it to the point where
I love that dance though.
Boop, 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 boop.
That's my go-to at weddings.
Fucking A, man. For a solid 2 years, WWE's idea of gimmicks was just pointing a certain direction in the air.
Yeah.
That's all it was. Emma, Daniel Bryan, Fandango.
The Bulldogs used to do the same thing with Matilda.
Yep, that's one gimmick. There's five people on the roster pointing somewhere, and
could
the crowd
is doing
it. Could
you imagine Dynamite Kid and David Boy Smith coming to the ring doing that point?
God.
I don't know if it's... I think it's just what they do with the person once they come up. I mean, of course Emma is going to fail if she's teamed with fucking Santino.
Yeah.
Or she's going to ruin Santino.
Oh, yeah. She made him retire.
She made him retired.
Is he retired officially? I thought he said he
might
wasn't
be coming back.
To.
He retired to go film that fucking Jingle All the Way 2 with Larry the Cable Guy.
Ooh. How do you feel about Larry the Cable Guy, Adam?
Get her done.
Actually, I feel like Adam likes Larry the Cable Guy.
I met him once. He's really, really nice.
He writes his own shit. He's funny. I mean, but he plays.
It's a character.
Did you?
It's a simple comedy. You
did you work? Did you work with Larry, or were you just in the same club?
No, I met him at one of his shows afterwards. He's a really nice guy. But like I said, it's definitely character.
Oh, of course.
As far as the accent and everything.
All right.
When you talk to him, he's like, "Oh, hello, Adam."
He's British.
last thing on
that
Raw.
Explains the tooth.
Last thing on Raw, we
wow, Kevin no sold me now.
Well, because we already did the tooth joke.
I brought it back.
Fucking heck, some callbacks you just don't have to. Not every joke gets a callback.
You want me to call back the gay jokes?
No. Again.
Yeah, some of them you don't got to call back. You know what I mean?
That a hollaback?
I got that. Last point on Raw we touched about briefly before we had Bobby Eaton.
Eaton?
Was the John Cena Rusev. Now, I'm not a fan of Rusev. Adam, how do you
really
feel?
Really?
I think he's vanilla as hell.
Yeah, he's pretty bland.
I'm on board with Rusev.
Okay.
I'm on board.
Why is that?
Lana
of course,
is a good mouthpiece for him. And I like how they're giving him more and more mic time.
That's Tony's mouthpiece, by the way. I like that finally they're making him...
I just like that he's a brute.
Fair enough. And that's the one part that the last couple weeks when they've just been absolutely just beating the shit out of each other, that's like, all right, here's a heel that's not going to run away and that's not going to try... He's going to fight John Cena. He will fight you. He may not always win, but he's there to fight. And this past week was, as much as I do think he's vanilla and I don't see any main event potential in him... That's just me. And I
don't know if I see main event, but he's, he could definitely Intercontinental title, U.S. title,
right.
Obviously.
Which means what? But now that John Cena is, Cena is now after the U.S. title. He wants it for America. It's the most important any other belt other than the main event belt has ever looked, ever.
It's going to go to DQ at Express Lane, 10 items or less, and then it goes to WrestleMania.
I don't see it.
I think it will. Something's going to happen where it's not a clean, clear finish.
I guess just because I don't like Rusev. Rusev would have to do the most dastardly thing to Cena for me to want to see that match again.
I hope so.
He
rips his eyeball out.
Have to put him through. He'll have to do some amazing physical spot where he just throws him off
stabs
a building. Basically
throw him off a building.
He'll have to stab him.
He'll still kick out at 2 though.
He should really poke him in the eye, and we should get Pirate Cena for WrestleMania.
Oh, man.
Dude, Jake the Snake, he fucking blinds him at Fastlane because he turns his high beams on. And then when they go to WrestleMania, they have a blindfold match.
His eye looked good this week. His eye didn't look all that.
I did love, though, when the...
You know what happened to his eye, right?
When the...
Scratch cornea, didn't he?
No. Fucking Nicky Knockers was jerking him off in the hotel room.
Oh.
He fucking arced one. Super Cena jizz right in the eye.
I did like how they, This was a couple weeks ago, though, but I just liked it when the flag botched and
yes,
come all the way down.
Yeah, but right away, do you think Cena did that?
But I will. Lana and Rusev acted so perfectly. Whether that was supposed to happen or not, I don't think it was supposed to.
And the best part was, like, Rusev gets pissed off, and he gets so mad that he actually goes outside the ring to get the flag that he walked to the ring with to wave that.
Yep.
That was fucking money.
I love that.
That's a guy who's thinking on his feet right there.
Yep.
Listen, when Rusev made his debut in the Rumble, was it 2 years ago?
It was Pittsburgh's one. Yeah,
you were there for
2 years.
I was the biggest fan when I saw him then, but just they brought him back as this character that you see every 4 years of anti-American nonsense, and that just it's not resonating for me. But anyway.
The thing is, they can always, you know, expand him or go a different direction.
They'll turn him into fucking Santino Marella's sidekick.
No.
Like Vladimir Kozlov.
No. I don't think they will.
I don't think so
either.
Hey,
I liked Kozlov.
I loved Kozlov when he was a babyface.
When they had their tea party in the ring.
Yeah, that was fucking great.
Real quick, primetime players are back together. We didn't touch on that.
Because I don't think anyone realized it.
Yeah.
It was, at least the live crowd didn't.
It was Darren Young.
I popped for Darren
Young and some jobber, and then Titus O'Neil came out to help him.
I would have popped if Rhett Titus came out and helped Darren
I would have too.
I hope Abraham Washington comes back this week with
the Usos and the fucking Tyson Kidd and Cesaro getting a title match this week. There's more shenanigans and hijinks there. Nobody gives a fuck. Brian and Big Show.
Oh, Rick. What about Ric Flair?
Oh, woo! Mm-hmm. Yeah. My question is, what was the point? Was it trying to get Triple H over as a heel?
I think it was trying to let... Because, like Triple H mentioned in the promo, Sting's entire career, basically more or less until Hogan, was based around Ric Flair. So...
Yeah, but they were also... Here's the problem I have, though. They were putting...
They mentioned WCW a lot, by the way.
Well, that's the thing. They're putting Triple H as the face of WWE, making him a heel, and then saddling... what's his name? Sting with the WCW banner.
I didn't see that coming, really. Yeah.
But they fucking, like, when they first did the before the Alliance, when they brought the Invasion shit up, that's what they did. Like, first they were trying to make WCW faces, then they were trying to make WCW heels.
Right.
I think that's a fucking mistake. I think if you have it just as, like, you know, icon versus icon, yeah, Sting was WCW, yeah, Triple H was WWF, but once you start putting the brands with that heel-face association, it kind of fucking ruins it for me.
I agree.
Triple H is an asshole to begin with. You don't need to say, like, he's the asshole that represents WWF. He's the asshole that's going to beat up Sting because Sting came in and fucked with him.
The last recollection fans... And I'm not even sure if the kids even remember the Invasion angle. I doubt they do. But the last recollection of WCW in WWE that the fans have is of a shitty stable with Shane McMahon leading it as a heel stable.
Yeah.
So how are we supposed to get behind WCW now when the last recollection we have of WCW, other than documentaries and network, but on TV, is this fucking jabroni-ridden... fucking thing they had to put Stone Cold, Kurt Angle, and fucking, you know, whoever with. So they could have left the WCW stuff. I mean, it's, you have to mention it because it's part of his history.
Yeah.
But to saddle the whole promo about WCW.
Yeah.
But Ric Flair, I think, needed to be heard, I think, because he has the most history.
Yeah,
with Sting.
It was interesting.
Yeah, no, it was, and with not having Sting there, you have to get creative. It's like every time you need Brock Lesnar to do something, you have Paul Heyman just come out and say something for it, you know? You have to advance the story without actually having the guy be there. I mean, it's what they got to do.
I just think it's funny that both pay-per-views that Sting has been on, they've been free.
Oh, that's true.
Survivor Series, free.
This is true.
And Raw, free.
And Fastlane. WWE Express
free.
Lane, 10 items or less, free.
Suckers like us are shelling out $10 a month. They should give us, like, a rebate check at the end of the month, at the end of the year, for the fucking things that we haven't had to
do our taxes?
Yeah. Yeah, we should be a write-off. Those months should be a fucking write-off for us.
November and February.
November and February. They had to have been another one. I think there was 3 months that they gave away free. And I want...
Did they give away WrestleMania this year or no?
No, they gave away the Rumble, I think, before WrestleMania.
Well, they also gave away the Rumble on Monday after the Rumble because of the snowstorm.
Mm-hmm. Right. Was it the Rumble then they gave away?
It was definitely Survivor Series and this one coming up.
I think, well, no, you know what it was? It was the first pay-per-view that you had to pay. No, it was only the 2 months now that I think about it.
And here's what sucks. Like, I've been paying for the network since it debuted. How come I don't get a free month? How come they don't tell me this month we're not charging you?
That's exactly what I just said. That's what I'm saying. The rebate check and the write-off.
No, but they shouldn't even fucking charge us to begin with. Or they should send us like a Sheamus t-shirt or some shit.
No, he's coming back, charging me more.
I want a slammy.
Sheamus.
You send me a slammy.
I like that. You could give me a slammy that I could just pretend that I'm giving an acceptance speech within my room.
They sold slammies on WWE shop, but they sold out.
Really?
Yeah.
They're expensive, too. They're like $300.
And it was $150. I looked.
Oh, really?
Because I was going to get one. I was definitely going to get one.
Dude, he trolls merch. Trust me.
Yeah, and those fuckers will still not make a Money in the Bank briefcase to sell on that goddamn site.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine that?
Huh?
No, dude. It's a special edition Halliburton just painted gold with the fucking green letters.
I want that. I want it.
Could you imagine how many people would be going through the airports carrying those things?
Yes.
That would be awesome.
That would be my only luggage.
Would you actually have a contract in there? So people
just
like,
in case.
So yeah, people, let me see what's inside.
Believe it or not, I have.
Wait, you're the Money in the Bank winner? Open it up. Prove it. Well, kid.
Believe it or not, here's the contract. Like 3 or 4 years ago on WWE's website, they had a copy of the contract that you could like print out. I printed out like 18 of them.
For what?
Just in case.
Oh, you don't believe me? What does that say?
Just in case. Wow.
Adam Lucidi. Anytime I want, motherfuckers.
It's going to be the next time I have to write a set list, I'm going to do it on the Money in the Bank briefcase contract.
What else was there on Rob?
Bray Wyatt.
Oh, the tease of The Undertaker, which it's pretty.
Oh, did that happen? I didn't catch that.
Y'all are going to feel really stupid.
When it's not The Undertaker?
When it's not The Undertaker and you guys figure out that he's talking about Rick Moranis all this time.
No, it's going to be... Wow.
You heard it here first on The Shining Wizards.
That's a dream match.
It's going to be about Rick Moranis.
I've never seen that match before.
Think about it. He lost his smile.
Is it Rick Moranis from Ghostbusters or Honey, I Blew Up the Kid?
Ooh.
Because if he's got that ray that makes
him really big... Is there really a difference? Is there really a difference?
Yeah, but if he's got
Rick
the ray
Moranis?
That makes him bigger... I think he's got a chance.
Dude, when he lost the kids, he had those goggles and that fucking swing set that made him look in the fucking yard for his kids.
The lawn, yeah.
Yeah. But,
then he shrunk himself.
Yes, he did.
In that shitty sequel. After
Honey, I Shrunk Ourselves, and that was Honey, We Blew Up the Kid.
No, it was Shrunk the Kids, Blew Up the Kid, Shrunk Ourselves.
I still Blew Up the Kid in the theater.
I saw it at the drive-in.
Oh, that's right. It's from Uniontown.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Uniontown, PA.
So, yeah, it's going to be Bray Wyatt, Rick Moranis, WrestleMania.
I'm excited. Who do you got in that match?
Well, you know, you haven't seen Rick Moranis in anything lately,
so he's due for a win. That's right.
No.
He's been training hard.
Yeah. It's actually a sad story. Do you guys know Rick Moranis' story? He quit.
Yeah.
He quit Hollywood.
He quit Hollywood to take care of his wife.
And then she died.
So he should be ready to work again.
But he has an album on iTunes.
Does he?
Mm-hmm.
I want to see Little Giants Rick Moranis. That match.
If he came with all the Little Giants, yeah, I'd be on board
for that. Easy.
Rick Moranis and the Little Giants versus Bray Wyatt and his sheep choir.
Ed O'Neill did a great Mike Dicka in that movie.
Oh, I loved
just
it.
Just the asshole chewing his gum the whole time with his stupid sunglasses
he
on.
He was good. All right, that's it for Raw for me, as far as I can tell.
Okay, we don't have a lot of time.
We'll forego Impact this week, even though I did like Impact.
Well, you guys
week.
Are having. When, oh no, you're not doing the next.
We're doing
show.
A Ring of Honor show next week.
Okay.
To hype up Ring of Honor.
But first plug: Dave LaGreca will be joining us next week in studio on Tuesday and Wednesday. Kevin and Matt are doing a Ring of Honor preview spectacular.
That's Busted Opens. Dave LaGreca, check them out. Their schedule on SiriusXM. It's the sports channel. We'll put it up later, maybe even.
So what is it? Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 2 to 4.
You know what? That's the thing. I've listened to him on a Friday. I've listened to him on a Tuesday. So,
well, they replay their shows at weird times, but I'm pretty sure it's Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Jesus, I'm hungry for McDonald's.
Tony's hungry.
2 to 4.
That's fun, man.
So, because we haven't been doing anything for Black History Month,
because some of us are racist,
and we don't really have a lot of time, but I want to see if we could do this. We decided before we came back from commercial break.
You guys decided to do a Black History Month thing 10 days into February.
No, it's 17 days.
There's only 10 days left.
I swear to God, I just forgot. We talked about it last week that we were going to do something this week, but
okay. So we wrote down the names of eight African-American black wrestlers.
Eight African-American blacks.
Yes, as opposed to African-American whites, yes, which do exist.
South African-American.
Yes, whatever. It's all Africa.
That's true.
Anyway, without going into Matt zone, I have the names of eight wrestlers here. We're going to do a quick little tournament. I'm kind of following what the Neckbreaker Boys have been doing just for shits and giggles because we needed to contribute for Black History Month. So I'm going
to
take...
to fill the quota.
So
well, all right, let me stop you right there. Listen, we're not fucking assholes. We respect the fuck out of Black History and what it's
that's
meant
why
to
we're doing this.
Wrestling. I know, but it's kind of we're kind of making it seem like it's all put together. We talked about this for a week, so it's not like it's...
Well, we talked about it last week. The actual prep time was about 7 minutes. Okay, so right. I have eight slips of paper. I'm going to grab two at random. That's going to be the first round matchups. Then we'll work our way from there. And it's going to be a unanimous vote between the three of us. So the first matchup has Coco Beware taking on Kamala.
Ooh.
Okay, so who do you think, Coco Beware or Kamala in the first round?
I'll go first, and I'll say Kamala.
Now, are we talking about Kamala now or Kamala in his
prime? Yeah,
I was
going to say, are we talking one-leg Kamala?
Because with no,
I still like one-leg Kamala over Coco.
Well, he's got no feet. He's neither one of them. They're both
locked
off.
Oh, I thought he just didn't have a leg.
Which means he's about as tall as Coco Beware is now.
Coco Beware is going to be on that Wrestling with Death show. On WGN.
Coco Beware might be part of the Bobby Eaton documentary because those guys
he
are tagged.
He put over Coco like crazy tonight.
Loves Coco. He said it was his favorite partner.
Favorite partner. Spoiler alert. No, wait, that already happened.
Oh. I'm going to go one leg Kamala and because of his rap, push it.
Awesome. Good call. Kevin?
I said Kamala.
All right. Well, then my vote doesn't matter. I was going to go with Coco anyway because I kind of like Frankie and Pile Driver. But all right. So Kamala stays. Coco's gone. Next round.
This should be
next
like,
match.
This should be like random because once it's already two, there's no point in the next person. Should be like.
All right. Well, so then I'll go first with this one. All right. It's Ron Simmons.
Damn.
Against JYD, the Junkyard Dog. I read the book about the Junkyard Dog. Tremendously like over guy. However, not really that talented. And I think based on history and what he's done alone. I think I'm going with Ron Simmons.
Oh, God. What you just said kills me. Not that talented.
He's really not.
But unfortunately, Adam, I'm going to make his vote not count because Ron Simmons is one of my favorites of all time. And he had one of the most monumental moments, not only in black history, but wrestling history.
And it ain't just black history. It's history.
That's Teddy Long.
Yep.
From the Legends of the Round the Ring.
I demand that this tournament get turned into a tag match, Teddy Long style.
Player, it's now going to be a tag team.
Oh. Well, maybe if the fans push hard enough, we'll make it a fatal four-way.
All right, so Adam's vote is meaningless. Who would you have picked, though?
I would have picked Ron Simmons.
All right, so that's a shutout.
So Ron Simmons would have been unanimous. Next match, Bobo Brazil.
Let Adam go first on this one.
And Booker T.
Oh.
Bobo and Booker.
Booker T is an icon.
Yeah, I got to go.
And so is Bobo.
Brazil is very historically
I'm going Booker T with this one.
I'm going to go Bobo Brazil.
Booker T is my favorite of the two, but Bobo Brazil was so ahead of his time. And so he was one of the major draws in a time when you didn't see a lot of that unless you were in the South. I got to go Bobo Brazil.
Oh, Bobo Brazil.
A big shocker because I'm a...
Yeah, you know what? As much as I love Booker T as well, Bobo Brazil...
You know what it is?
They've called him the Jackie Robinson of professional wrestling.
Yep. You know what? I know why? It's because Booker T makes me want to shoot myself when I hear him on commentary. So that's why.
He's not that.
He's the worst in the history of color commentary.
I don't know about the worst, but the three-man group they have right now is really bad.
The worst is Booker T. The second worst is sitting two chairs down.
Me?
No, JBL. Lillian,
it's like Lillian Garcia talks.
Like, wait a minute, you're one chair, I'm the other chair.
if Michael Cole was in between us, Adam would be JBL, two chairs.
Well,
down.
Fuck Cole. I'm always
Cole's
against
actually
Cole.
My favorite part of the
I'm
three of them.
I'm always against Cole.
And you guys want to stop the gay talk?
I'm
Jesus.
Always against Cole.
They're the Booker
if
T
I could
JBL.
Legally murder one person, it'd be Michael Cole.
I would pretty well. let's not go there. All right, next match.
Okay, the last match: Sexual Chocolate Mark Henry. And
wait, specifically or Hall
no,
of Fame
I'm just
Mark
saying,
Henry?
It doesn't right. matter. It's fucking Mark Henry. How about Olympic strongman beating up Jerry Lawler, Mark Henry?
That's
go really bad. Or Big T himself, Ahmed Johnson.
Adam's gonna go first. I already know who he's taking.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, this is a tough one. This
Adam's making us. I could have sworn I knew immediately who he was gonna take.
I'm going to go with Ahmed Johnson.
Wow, really?
On this one.
What's your reasoning?
He's fucking scary as shit.
Yeah, he's a pretty scary dude.
Are you kidding me?
Have you seen the meme online with him posing with himself when he was younger?
No.
It's really fat Ahmed Johnson posing with like red tights Ahmed Johnson.
Oh, God.
It's yeah, funny. It's...
If you can, pull that up for Adam.
I know my vote already, so we're going to leave it to you to be the tiebreaker because I'm going with Mark Henry. So, Tony, now you have the tiebreaker on who's going to win this first round, Matt.
I really want to go with Ahmed. I really liked him as a character. I thought he was decent, probably better than decent for a big man. But Mark Henry's just been around forever, and he's not like the Big Show. He manages to reinvent himself all the time. Like, who would have thought 2 years ago he would have been crazy over challenging John Cena and having the emotional range where he was crying that he had to retire?
Yeah, he should have won. I got to go Mark Henry. Academy Award.
I got to go to Mark Henry with that one.
All right.
So Mark Henry moves on.
Semifinals.
Okay. Did you want to pull up that picture while I should I randomize this? Yeah, let me randomize this.
No. You don't have to recede, do we?
Well, we can. I just put them in any particular random order. Okay, we don't have to.
We'll recede. It's
fine. It doesn't matter. First match, semifinals, Ron Simmons and Kamala.
Oh.
Adam, you can take this one.
Push
first.
It.
Kamala. 100% Kamala based off push.
Wait,
it.
Are you just doing... I don't know. Kamala was involved in a lot, and he was. Who did he sing about in that song? Pat Patterson.
Everyone.
And, no, but who did he sing about specifically? Was it?
He did talk. I think he sang about. Pat Patterson.
It was Pat, and what's his name? Steve Lombardi.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't it?
In the Room Next Door.
Ooh, that's right. Too bad I don't have Push It on the machine. I would
push
play.
It.
And pull it.
Yep. So that's my vote.
You know what though? First WCW, first world, black world champion that's recognized anyway. Intercontinental champion, tag team champion, headlined tons of shows for WCW.
He was never an Intercontinental champion.
I thought he was.
He lost to Owen Hart in the finals of that tournament.
He never won the title? Oh, no, because he had a lacerated kidney.
Yeah.
And everybody was Intercontinental champ at some point. He wasn't?
Pretty sure he wasn't.
Oh, well. You know what? Fuck him, Kamala.
Damn it. I was hoping we were going to go with Ron Simmons because I had a good bit lined up for it. So I was going to say Kamala, so it's a shutout for
Wow.
Kamala.
So it didn't matter if I
would have
picked
Ron Simmons. I used the world champion first one for the first round. It can only get you so far. Yeah. Push it, pull it. Gets you
that
somewhere.
Gets
push
you.
It and pull it.
That gets you far.
Bubba Brazil or Mark Henry?
I'll go Mark Henry.
I'm going salmon colored suit Mark Henry.
Heel turn, Mark Henry.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, you guys shit on me. I was going to go Bobo Brazil anyway.
Mm-hmm. Ah, well, this is what we do when we don't prep
so,
a segment.
Sorry, Bobo Brazil. All your achievements were for nothing.
So
you
now
been eliminated.
We're going to do this now because I don't want the vote to be
Oh, we're going to secret ballot?
We're going to secret ballot. We're going to put...
All right, I'll rip up some paper.
No, you don't have to. We're just going to do one and two. One and two, we're going to put it behind our back, and at the same time, we're all going to throw up one or two.
Oh, my God, we're going to be like fucking retards here.
No, it's not.
All right.
And then we'll announce who's going to win via the vote amount instead of...
Okay, well then give me, real quick, since we have time, give me your pro and con for each one then. Like,
I don't, you can remind me, who Kamala and Mark Henry?
Kamala has to be number one because he only has one leg.
But he also
no,
be number
Kamala,
two because he has...
Kamala could be zero.
Yeah, all right,
Kamala
fine, one
is zero,
Kamala,
and Mark Henry's one.
Hold up a goose egg for Kamala, one for Mark Henry.
Or just a fist for Kamala.
That's
for
fine,
Black
that's
Power.
A goose egg, same thing. All right, pro and con for both Mark Henry, longevity, Kamala, pinning people while they were on their stomachs.
Well, Kamala was, no, you know what? Kamala made evented a lot, dude. He drew a lot with Hogan.
I know, but that was just my logic. Don't question.
And he was
why.
Around, he was in world class too before he got called to WWF, didn't
well, he's
he?
He's also a part of the documentary that we talked to Bobby Eaton about. He's questioned in that.
So yes.
He gives his thoughts on
so
Bobby
Kamala's Eaton. Got a lot on his,
Mark
Legless
Henry
body.
Kissed the dude. Mark Henry
also took
pain,
China dancing.
Took China dancing. Took
had swank fucking entrance music for a long time.
Nation of Domination.
It's sexual, baby. Are these the pros for Mark Henry?
We don't know. They're just statements.
Yeah, these are just thoughts that were thrown out. Feel free to throw out some more.
Mark Henry has a hand for a kid.
Wait. He also bends fucking frying pans. Didn't he do that shit for a while, too?
With Ron Simmons in his corner. Yep. Mm-hmm. That was the SmackDown.
Oh, my God. They were. That's right. They were Nation of Domination together.
Well, even after that, when they were doing the frying pan stuff, that's
Mark
when they
Henry,
did the draft. The
Mark
initial
Henry
draft.
Is also known for Sweet Jesus. Sweet Jesus, you got a penis. You don't remember this? Come on.
But that was the dude.
Yeah, but that was the line. Yeah. And then his mama dragged him off by his ear.
What was her name? The man dude?
Oh, my God. What was her name?
Wasn't Nicole Bass?
No.
No.
It was China set him up. The fuck was her name? It wasn't Cloudy. Cloudy was a body Donna.
Oh, my God. This is killing me now, Kevin.
Hold on. I got to find it. It's a type.
Kamala.
Was it Sammy? Sammy,
yes.
Before I even got there?
It was Sammy.
I didn't have to Google that.
It
I
was
just
Sammy.
Got it.
Kamala also stood up to Andre the Giant for calling him the N-word.
Ooh.
Yeah, he talks about that quite a bit.
All right, so here it is. Now we have the field has been set. The background has been laid. We're going to go.
Wait, I don't even have a drum roll.
Funny. It's okay. It's Kamala.
Kamala's the goose egg.
Kamala's the fist, the goose egg, the nation fist.
And Mark Henry's the two for two legs.
And Mark, so it's 0-2. We're completely skipping it out. All right.
Okay.
You want to do like a 10-second thing? Because I'm not even sure who I want yet. Wait.
All right, well, if you need time, go ahead. Just think about everything that we talked about.
All right.
And while you're thinking, let's start some plugs. Let's do this first.
All right, okay. I got my choice.
I have my choice.
I'm ready.
All right, so
on the count of three,
3, 2, 1, and then we're just going to throw them up, and I will relay the results for the world to hear. All right, 3, 2, 1.
Holy cow! Kamala gets fisted. It's a unanimous decision.
3-0. Adam, Tony, and myself all congratulate Kamala on this very prestigious prize that he will get. It's an empty Twisted Tea bottle.
Somebody get James Harris on the phone. Tell him he won.
He won. That's prestigious as it gets, man.
Push it.
Isn't it funny that 190-some-odd episodes ago, like, we started out with jokes about Kamala, and here we are honoring Kamala for Black History Month?
It deserves it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, guys, this was a fucking...
This has been fun.
We got some plugs. We got some people that we want to take care of and support.
Wait. We need some plug music. Don't forget the plug music.
Take your time because I have to pull up what I have to
God
do.
Goddamn better be Push It.
I don't have Push It queued up.
We've played that song so many times.
We played Have a Little Drink of Wine, and we actually started singing it Wesley Willis style. Oh, it was great. It was one of our finest moments on this show. How about this for some background?
I like it.
Little Ariana Grande to send us home. Pro Wrestling Syndicate, ProWrestlingSyndicate.com. What is the name of their show that's coming up this Saturday?
It is Refuse to Lose 2. And this is a stack card with our friend Mick Foley will be there. Superfly Jimmy Snuka will make an appearance. Ethan Carter III from TNA will make an appearance. PWS Heavyweight Champ, PWS Championship match. Kevin Matthews challenging Fala Ba with Shining Edward Jackson. The first ever match in history between Jushin Thunder Liger, Japanese royalty, and Mr. Boom Boom Colt Cabana.
Boom Boom.
Suicidal Six Way on the line, championship on the line. Champion Bobby Weber defends against five of PWS's best. Four-way tag team match for the PWS Tag Team Championships. The new champions, Handicap Heroes, defend against the Reynolds Brothers, Reality Check, Devin Moore, and Craven Varro, and the Aesthetics Enterprise of Damian Gibbs and Beefsteak Charlie.
And more.
I wasn't going to go through all of them.
No, please don't.
I wasn't. Listen, check out PWS TV every Saturday night, Sunday morning, 4:30 a.m. on WLNY TV 10.
If you're in the tri-state area. If not...
And if you're in Philadelphia, I think the channels are 29 and 66, depending on your provider. I don't know all that yet.
That starts in a few weeks, I think.
It starts in a little while, yes.
And if you're not in those viewing areas, you can always check out PWS Television on the YouTubes. It's always on Mondays at some point, definitely by 7 o'clock it airs, so go check it out there. I know guys from around the world and around the country love checking it out on the YouTube, so...
Yep.
Good times. Smash Wrestling, smash-wrestling.com. I don't think they have a show coming up. I don't know. They probably do. Matt knows. But if you want to go check it out, smash-wrestling.com, at Smash Wrestling on the Twitter box. Wildcat Sports, wildcatsports.com. That's cat with a K. Please don't fuck that up. Does that say Wildcat Sports at Wildcat Sports? I'm sorry. You have something for them.
No, not for that.
Oh, okay. You were calling me along. We did PWS House of Glory, houseofgloryonline.com, at HOG Wrestling. Check those guys out. More plugs, Kevin.
Yeah, just a couple more. The Sanctuary will be this Sunday. Sanctuary 8.0 Fatal 4-Way this Sunday at 5 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. A lot of our friends like the God King Atu, Matt McIntosh, Steve Scott, the Extra Guys. A lot of other guys. That's 172 North Wyoming Street, Hazleton, PA. Check them out. They do great stuff, and I'm not sure if they're going to have a Fastlane viewing party afterwards, but they do good stuff. Check them out. And then just the Boston Pro Wrestling Marathon, which is March 6th, 7th, and 8th up in Massachusetts. We'll do more of that next week when we have our two shows. But check everyone out and support all independent pro wrestling.
Please, don't mind us. Our website right now is going to lead you to a Facebook page that's called Matthew Bowman.
What?
This is not the Matthew Bowman Wrestling Podcast, despite the jokes that we've been making for the past couple of I guess, weeks now. That is still our home on the web. If you want, you could find us on our fan page, Shining Wizards fan page. Go follow us there. We got all the information there. Mr. Adam Lucidi, can you tell us where you're going to be performing in the near future?
This weekend, I'm going to... listen to that. This weekend, I'm going to be upstate New York.
Wait, you got to pause.
Oh, I didn't woo it.
No, I got the instrumental,
the
bro.
I was going to be there. Yeah, I'll be upstate New York this weekend. The Brew Ha Ha Comedy Showcase Greg Adella and Andy Pitts. Next weekend? I'm going to be at a fucking wedding next weekend, so don't worry about next weekend.
Nice.
No, go to that wedding. He's going to be great.
It's actually going to be the wedding of the...
The best
friend that stole my girlfriend. Yeah.
You've been telling that joke for a long time.
I know. Wow. It's been 5 years in the making. But yeah, just follow me on Twitter, at Adam Lucidi, L-U-C-I-D-I, AdamLucidi.com.
On Monday nights, best Raw tweets, funniest, most outlandish, off the wall type stuff. You can associate wrestling with just about anything out there. So follow him, and at Adam Lucidi, AdamLucidi. Follow me on Twitter, at Kevin Garifo, Shining Wizards Kevin. I'm all around, so just be in touch.
And a programming note, Thursday Night Destruction this week, Dave interviews Chris Payne, that asshole.
Hey guys, it's Payne. It's Chris Payne. I like Mike Francesa.
You want to go?
I like
you
Mike Francesa.
You want to go?
Oh, did you catch that Chris Payne wrestled Chris Payne this week on PWS TV?
We didn't talk about PWS TV, did we?
No, it's all right. It's just that Craig Steele is now going by the name Chris Payne. At least according to the graphic. Sorry, Eddie.
No, but support our friends at PWS. Put on great shows all the time. They're doing a show in March 6th. We'll plug that next week as well.
Yeah, no problems. They got a show this weekend. It's all good.
Oh, yeah. We already did that.
And follow the Shining Wizards Network, shiningwizardsnetwork.com. 10 great shows, one great place, including Turnbuckle Throwbacks tomorrow, continuing their great coverage of Black History Month. And that's it. For Adam and Kevin, this has been Tony, and DMX will take you home.
Woo!
Later, bitches.
Oh,
you want to sing a little bit? We can freestyle.
No. Up in here. He just makes noises.
You're gonna make me lose my feet. Up in here. Up in here.
I found God. Up in here. Up in here.
Did he find God?
I think so. Anyway,
whatever.
All right, guys. Peace
later
out.
Later, bitches.